In our first reading in our gospel today, we have what might be called the tale of two widows. It's important that we understand a little bit about what it was like to be a widow in the time of Jesus and the time of Elijah. You see, at those times, there was no welfare system, so if a woman lost her husband, she had no means of support, as her husband was the breadwinner for the family to provide for the wife and children. So a widow was someone who was totally dependent and without means of support. Now, in our first reading today, to make matters worse, this poor widow finds herself at a time of famine and drought, so she can't grow any food. And worse than that, it says that she's down to her last meal. She has just a handful of flour and a little bit of oil in her jug, and she's just out to gather a few sticks to make a fire and make a small cake, and then she and her son will die because no one will be able to take care of them. The message there is that things are just about as bad as they could possibly get for this poor widow. But into the midst of this hopeless situation comes the great prophet Elijah, the voice of God, into this predicament. And what does he do? We would expect that when God arrives on the scene, God who loves and cares so much for all those who are poor and destitute, that God would come and say, as Jesus so often does in the New Testament, "What can I do for you? What can I give you? How can I help you?" But instead, look what Elijah does. Instead of saying to the widow, "What can I give you?" he says to the widow who has nothing, "You give me something. Give me a drink." Quite a demand. And the widow tries to oblige. But then Elijah goes even further. And he says, "Bring me something to eat." And then the widow finally has to say, "You know, I've got absolutely nothing. I'm going to make a small bit of bread for me and my son, and then we're going to die, and that's it." Elijah then reassures her, "No, you'll be okay." And then he says something which would be almost comical if it wasn't so sad. To this widow who has nothing, who is going to bake a little bread and then die, he says, "Why don't you go make me a cake?" It almost seems off-putting. What is going on here? Elijah demands of a poor widow who has nothing, "Bake me a cake." This brings out the great paradox of our Christian life. Because to her great credit, the widow does what Elijah says. She goes off and bakes a cake. And we have the beautiful words that the jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, and indeed she ate for a year. This woman who had nothing trusted. She was able to give. There's the paradox. It is in giving that we find fulfillment, happiness, that we receive all that we need. In order to receive, we have to give. This is what Jesus points out to in our gospel. He says, "Look at this woman, another widow. All these people are putting in large sums of money," but he says, "That's all their surplus. It's not hard for them to part with that. But this widow is giving all that she's got." There is the great example. How many times do we look in our society and see the people who give the most seem to be the happiest? If we look around our parish, as we look to renew our commitments to time, talent, and treasure, our commitment of stewardship, oftentimes when the church, we want to do something and we say, "We need volunteers." Who volunteers? Well, it's often the same people that are already volunteering for like 8 different other things. And it seems like they couldn't possibly give any more of their time. They say, "Well, this is important to the parish, so I'll make time. I want to help." Or when it comes to supporting the parish financially, who are the most consistent, constant financial contributors to the parish? It's often the people who, in comparison, have very little. But whenever we say, you know, we need money, this broke or that broke, they're the first ones to say, I'll help. I don't have a whole lot, but here's what I've got. I'll help. You know what you always notice about those people? Those are the ones that are truly happy. They know that in giving, they're the ones that themselves receive. Contrast that with the wisdom of our society. The people who try to keep getting and getting and taking and follow the dream to amass as much as we can, aren't those the people that always seem frustrated? No matter how much you've got, you always seem like you want more. Just when you think you're happy and you finally got enough, you look at the people next door and see what they've got. Well, they've got more, and now you're unhappy again, so you have to get more. That cycle will never end. This is the paradox. If we want to be content, if we want to feel like we need nothing, we have to give. Give as much as possible. The reason for this is simple. Those of us that feel content, like we have everything, we have no need or experience to reach out and say, I need help. I can't do it all myself. I am in desperate circumstances and I need help. That's where these widows are our example today. They need everything. And in that lowliness, they experience the great care and giving of God, the salvation of God. This is why St. Paul is able to brag that he's content with his weakness, because in weakness, he says, I am strong. He realizes that when he does not rely on his own strength, but trusts in God, then he is powerful, because God will provide. As we were talking amongst the staff at this time of stewardship renewal, one of the staff members pointed out, as we were talking about, you know, sometimes in this difficult economic time, maybe people are inclined to give less. There are more bills to pay and less income, and maybe our tendency would be to say, you know, we gotta take care of all the other things first, and then we'll see what's left over for God. Staff member pointed out, you know, there's something just not quite biblically right about that. God doesn't ultimately need our money. What God needs is our trust. I think what more importantly, we need an opportunity to place our trust in God. This widow of Zarephath in our first reading had nothing. All she had left was a little bit of flour. If anyone was entitled to say, look, Elijah, right now I've got nothing. You help me and come back a little later, and then when I've got enough, sure, I'll be happy to help you. But she doesn't do that. She says, okay, here you go. Here's a cake. And what happens? Does God turn his back on her then? Does the generous person wind up somehow worse off for having been generous with God? Quite the contrary. We always find out that God is never outdone in generosity. If we give and give and give, we will find that we receive and receive and receive, and we will always feel contented. Maybe not contented with worldly pleasures, but contented that God takes care of us. We will have the trust in God that will ultimately lead to having peace in this life, a gift much greater than any financial security, which, as we've hopefully all learned in the recent times, financial security can be gone in an instant. But for those who have the peace and trust of knowing that God will never abandon us, that's something the world can never take away. And to get that, we have to enter into that paradox. If we want to receive and have everything, we have to give it all away. So today, as we gather around the table of the Eucharist, we are reminded that Jesus gave everything for us. The question then is, what are we willing to give to God? How much do we trust him? It's ultimately a question of How happy do we want to be?